So Vaishnavas, very nice to be here the second time in a week. I must have done right the first time. They invited me back. This is a class about Krishna. It's one of the lead-up classes to Janmashtami, the birth of Krishna. And I thought that I would do something a little bit different because the most powerful sense, Prabhupada tells us, is hearing. Most powerful sense. And we use our ears in becoming Krishna conscious. What is it? Shravanam, Kirtanam leads to Vishnu Smaranam. We know that. So a lot of what we do during the morning program, in fact, an awful lot of what we do during the morning program, is singing, reciting, chanting, hearing. And by breakfast time, we hope to be in a state of religious trance called Vishnu Smaranam. Okay, and then we have breakfast and it all seems to disappear. But in society, people use their eyes a lot. Prabhupada said, for the advanced person uses his ears to know Krishna or to know the world. Less advanced level of consciousness is the eyes. So I'm bringing you down today to my level of consciousness. Because I want to tell you how important Krishna is through the eyes. We have deity worship. It's an eye exercise. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, do not let your coming before the deity simply be an eye exercise only. Meaning that we should pray. These days, whether it's the queen, or a pop star, or a celebrity, or the greatest of all of these, the greatest king himself, Krishna, you will find that people don't pray, but they click. They don't pray, they click. And it's a phenomenon that is not only observed here, but all over India. The deity is brought out. People immediately reach for their pocket. And click. Why are you taking a picture? Oh, so because I want to remember the deity. So Vishnu Smaranam will be done by your mobile phone? Vishnu Smaranam can be done. Recalling the image of the Lord can be done not by having the Lord's image on your phone only, but by praying to the Lord. And when the Lord appears in front of you in the form of darshan, then the most important thing is to pray. My dear Lord, I'm here, you're there. I constantly forget you. You're constantly reaching out to me. Please, today, don't let me forget you. Don't let me fall away from Krishna consciousness. Not click. I got a picture. You see, some people, as soon as the curtains open, they're clicking. If the queen came to visit Bhaktivedanta Manor, would you stand 6 feet away from her and take a selfie? I don't think so. Why would you do that? Some very important politician came. We would do different things. Taking pictures, okay, that's one thing. But actually engaging with the person. Thank you for coming to Bhaktivedanta Manor. So happy to have you here. Very nice. Is there anything we can get you? Can I get you some water? Can I get you some... No? Here's a priest. He's going to chant some verses for you. It's an engagement. So deity worship is an opportunity for engagement. So we use our ears. But also how important it is to use our sense of sight, especially for the common person to use a sense of sight. Okay, maybe that's why they take pictures, because they're common. But in our business to make the world Krishna conscious, and I'm saying not as an ISKCON religious cult taking over the world, but I'm saying just that's the mood of the Vaishnava, to make the world Krishna conscious, as many people as possible. We have to use as many senses as possible. So we give all the senses Krishna, then whatever the sense the person experiences the world through, they will get Krishna. So for the incense, many years ago we used to have a mail order department, or we still do, don't we, under Acharya. They used to send the books all over Europe at that time, because there were no temples in Europe, in most of Europe. And so we used to send the spices, because people couldn't get spices. We used to send the incense. We used to send the books and posters and everything. And people would write back to us and say, lovely to get books from Bhaktivedanta Books. I just love the smell when I open the wrapper. Because your books smell of incense. Or your books smell of the temple. And so prasadam gives people Krishna through the tongue. Incense gives it through the nose. And in this way. But it's not a new phenomenon. It's a very old phenomenon. In India, you give Krishna through architecture, art, dance, drama, theater. You give through sculpture. You give through gardens. You give through temple construction. And because you know, if you go to a big temple in India, especially in South India, you'll have something called a Gopuram. And the Gopuram is the temple tower. It's not the temple itself. It's the archway, really, over the gate. And the archway over the gate is studded with thousands of images. So even before you've got into the shrine, you'll be seeing the Lord in all his different manifestations. So when we are preparing for Janmashtami, it is an assault on the senses of the people who come here. We're giving them Krishna through the tongue. Here, have some pizza and chips offered to Krishna. Very important, that part. If you have pizza and chips that's not offered to Krishna, you don't get Krishna, you just get pizza and chips. Just a fleeting sensation. If you get pizza and chips offered to Krishna, and we hope Krishna accepts pizza, then you get Krishna. Come see this drama put on by the brahmacharis. You'll definitely get Krishna. It's so Krishna conscious. Get this display, that display, this cooking demonstration. In so many ways we give Krishna on all levels. So this verse, let's proceed to the verse. Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, along with Balaram, played like a human being, and so masked, he performed many superhuman acts. This is the verse that we had yesterday, the day before, for Balaram's appearance day, a few days ago. So Krishna and Balaram appear in this world and perform many superhuman acts. Superhuman means things that humans cannot do. And these superhuman acts are remembered, and they're remembered throughout the world. They're hidden in different parts of the world. I told you the story of the way in which Krishna appears in Greece. They're finding little sculptures of the Krishna, the butter thief, and calling them by different names. But all over India, wherever you go, and now all over the world, you will see Krishna. You'll see Radha Krishna, Balaram Krishna, Yashoda Krishna. You'll see Keshava Krishna, Govinda Krishna, Gopinath Krishna. You'll see all different types of Krishna. Why? Because of the activities of the Krishna consciousness movement. And the importance of this is that people will get an opportunity to see Krishna. All over India, you can hardly move. So Krishna is used in religious circles, in cultural circles, dance and drama and theater, in sculptures. And these days, of course, you go to India, one of the biggest shocks I got is that Krishna is used in advertising. Krishna is used to advertise butter. You know, oh, this butter is so good that even Krishna will steal it. Or it's used to advertise saris. Oh, Krishna, you've stolen our best best saris available from such and such a depot. We know why you stole our saris, because they are like this. So all the different stories of Krishna sometimes leak into ordinary life, because Krishna has become an icon. And that was always Krishna's intention, by displaying so many pastimes that his pastimes are remembered. These leelas are remembered for thousands of years. They're indelibly buried in our mind. We can't forget them. They're so attractive. They're skillfully made. Krishna is better than the best Hollywood director at presenting his life. Krishna, the movie. When it was Krishna, the life. And it was such a story that had all the elements in. When Ram came, it was such a story. When Krishna came, it was more wonderful story. All the elements are there. Love, drama, romance, excitement. car chases, okay, explosions. Hollywood's got nothing on this. Rukmini, stealing Rukmini, it was a car chase, only with chariots. We have explosions. We have demons bursting into flames. All, everything is there. You cannot invent a better story than the story of Krishna. So let's have a look at it and how it's leaked into all aspects. So what I'm going to present here is pictures of Krishna and his superhuman acts from different parts of India through different ages. And I hope you like it. Hare Krishna. So, lights, camera. Ladies, can you see? Can you see the... See it here? Are you sure? Do you need to move yourselves, or we need to move the screen, or do I need to move? No? You're okay. I'm getting an okay. Thumbs up? All right. That's good. Isn't it nice when everything works? So I've called this Krishna icons. There's a lot here, so don't fall asleep. You'll miss out on Krishna consciousness. So what is an icon? An icon is a story of the Lord, or one of his pastimes, that has become adopted by human civilization. Okay, so this is an icon. It's an activity that took place, this is reported in Africa. It's got nothing to do with Krishna, but it has. It's a little baby elephant, that has been snapped up by a crocodile. Don't worry. The little baby elephant gets away. But it's an icon because this is the image, one of the most popular images that you will see all over India. It's how the Lord saves his devotee. And who was the elephant in question? Gajendra. Oh, the right one. Acha. Okay. So here's the story all in one picture. Often when we see this displayed, we'll see the story all in one picture. So here's the crocodile. You see? Mouth. You get the blood. You get the foam in the water as there's a great struggle going on for 1,000 years. And we get the elephant Gajendra. And it's a beautiful location. And the story tells us that even in a beautiful location, there's danger because it's the material world. Padam, padam. Vipadam notation. But the elephant is taking advantage. You see the tears coming from his eyes. And he grabs a lotus and he offers the lotus to the Supreme Lord. And the Vaishnav commentators say that even before he could finish the prayer, the Lord was there to save his devotee. So this is an emblem of how if we pray, God comes to save us. This is why this story is so beloved. And we find it in the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why. And you see the Lord coming on Garuda. And most important, in his top right hand, you'll see the Sudarshan Chakra. And the Sudarshan Chakra has a very important role to play. This is called Patachitra. It's a type of art in Jagannath Puri and surrounding areas. Same story, different style, quite beautiful. And you'll see again the crocodile... He's trying to eat the elephant whole. Not a good idea. But Gajendra has his lotus. And Garuda here is in a different style. And in here, also Patachitra, different style. Simpler. And the elephant has got tears in his eyes. This time he's got no lotus, but the Lord has come. And here's another style. I'm not too sure where this is from. I think it's from Maharashtra. You see, the crocodile looks a little bit like a leopard in this one. So some artists, they don't get out much. They've never actually seen a crocodile, you know. So they get to look a bit more like dogs. And in England, when they were painting pictures 200-300 years ago, they'd never seen a crocodile, so the crocodiles look like dogs. If you go to Nelson's column, you'll see that all the lions on Nelson's column, this is a little secret, they have the feet of dogs because the artist had never seen a lion. So they have dog feet. But he didn't know that. So artists try to take great emblems and they try to reproduce it for us. But it's important for you to understand that we're not having faith in an artist's rendition of Krishna. Krishna will reveal himself to you as he actually is at a certain stage of your Krishna consciousness. That's what it's all about. So the artist's imagery is just to help us. So here, it's rendered in terracotta. Same story, but in an ancient temple. Sometimes it's granite, sometimes it's terracotta. It just depends what the artist has. And here's a three-dimensional form. This may even be, I'm not sure, but by the upper part of his, this may even be, this theme, you can even go to Cambodia, Vietnam, and you will see the same theme. If you go to Bangkok airport, you will see the churning of the milk ocean by the demigods and the demons. In Bangkok, it's a huge display that is as big as, see all the brahmacharis here, from here right up to the curtains. It's huge, right in the middle of Bangkok airport. And you may wonder, how did it get there? Well, it's a popular theme. It's a popular icon that has, you know, been there since the days of the Chola kings, when their power extended beyond India and what we now call Sri Lanka into Burma, Cambodia, and all the way up to Singapore. Singapore means a Singha, lion, Pura, the land of the lion, Singapura. So Sanskrit and that culture. And today we're finding deities of Vishnu in Russia. How did they get there? We're finding deities of Krishna in Greece. How did they get there? Because although now the world is neatly divided up and we have our little places and we're thinking about having a united Europe or a united world, in those days people traveled a lot more than you think they might have done. And cultures were intermingling. So this is from Kerala. Same theme, but it's a wall painting. It's a wall painting. And here you have kind of a grayish-blue elephant. And the Lord is coming on the side. And this is in the palace of a king as the king goes to take bath. Where the king takes bath, the king was always worried about some enemies coming. So the enemies of a king are compared to crocodiles. So he's always, even when he's having a bath, he can look up and see this, that the Lord saves his devotee who prays to him. So even it's a beautiful bath, actually. I've been there to this place. Anyway, here's another sculpture that you would see in Vrindavan or somewhere like that. It's a three-dimensional plaster sculpture, all painted nicely. And this time you see the Sudarshan Chakra is firmly embedded in the crocodile's neck. And there we are. That's the sort of end of the story. And here it is in a popular children's book. Although sometimes art for children and art for adults in India, you can't actually see the difference. But this is this type of art is a European influenced art. You see the European shade and color and perspective and everything like that. Here's something a little bit more flat. But this is a CD cover. Still the same thing, CD cover. And this is applicable to all Vaishnava sampradayas. Okay, let's go a bit faster. So what are the memes of Krishna? What are the stories of Krishna that are so famous that we remember them everywhere in art, culture, drama, architecture, theater, song, plays, food, festivals? Now, you have your choices. I have my choices. These are my choices. This is what I think. Okay? Not to say that it's absolute. I could be wrong. Okay, another one. This is Amar Chitra Kata. Okay, and another child's drawing. But I just want to show you how many times these things, and when these themes are repeated, it gives successive generations of people. That's why Prabhupada wanted 32 full-color pictures in every one of his books. And now, we're the only organization that kind of does it, apart from the Bible Society and the Mormons. You know, you buy any book off the shelf in W.H. Smith's, and you won't find 32 color pictures. But we have 32 color pictures because Prabhupada wanted that. And he wanted it. Why? Because he said it will be a window to the spiritual world. He said, I want people to understand that this is real. So they said, what sort of art do you like Srila Prabhupada? And they showed him some pictures by an English artist called Sir Lawrence Alma Tadema. And this was very, very realistic pictures. So he said, yes, I like this. I like this because it looks real. So it's a sort of super real picture, as if it's an historical event. So Prabhupada wanted to convince people through his book distribution that these are not mythological events or just folk tales. Because sometimes folk art means folk tales. But they are, you know, worthy of the greatest artistic expression and the most real. So that's why we get a certain type of art that developed for the BBT books. Prabhupada's expressed wish. And that's another. Okay, I think I've overdone this picture now. So, and that's the BBT picture. Can you see the difference? The differences are that we're telling the whole story, and it looks very realistic with the perspective and the shadow and shade. And okay. Now this one, this is by a new generation of BBT artists from Russia. And this is just looks like a photograph. What's happening here? Someone tell me. Yeah, Vasudeva is taking baby Krishna. And can you see what's happened? The guards have fallen asleep. And what's that leopard doing in the bottom left-hand corner? Some places have guard dogs. Kamsa has guard leopards. Why not? Their bark is as worse as their bite. Well, their bite is as worse as their bark. So this is Vasudeva. And this is one of the chief themes that you'll see of Krishna. And it's repeated. This is a B.G. Sharma picture. Here you'll see Krishna going across the turbulent waters from Mathura on this side to Gokula on the other side. And you see Krishna being sheltered by Anantashesha. Same. In this one, rather touching picture, you'll see the little boy, little baby, clutching onto his father's finger. Okay? While all around there's thunder, there's lightning, but Krishna is peaceful, and he's already got his flute. Not quite sure where he got that from, but sometimes you have to call the artist out, and you say, I'm sorry, he was born in a jail. He didn't have his flute yet, but when you're creating divine art, sometimes a little bit of what's called artistic license is there. Okay, so here's Krishna. Okay. He's not even an hour old, and he's already got his flute, and he's... But if you look at this, we will forgive. We'll forgive. This is art from Kerala. Kerala is a thin state in India, on the eastern side, underneath Karnataka. And this is a particular style. And you will see this quite often there. And sometimes the Lord is painted green, because in the language of the artists in that part of the world, the green of Lord Ramachandra extends to Krishna. So they're very much devotees of Lord Ram. So they, you know, Krishna sort of gets involved as an incarnation of Lord Ram. So their theology isn't quite the same. Now we go over to Putana. This is a very old one of Putana. And Putana is a very common theme because she's the first demon that comes to Krishna. And she comes with poison on her breast. Okay? And Krishna not only accepts the milk from her, but also gives her immediately the results of trying to kill him. But also, so her body dies, but her soul goes to Krishna because he's so kind. So Putana Vad, the killing of Putana, is a theme that no matter what you've got, if you offer something to Krishna, even with bad intention, Krishna will see the good. That's why people like this picture. So, I don't know if you can see. It's probably not a Brahmachari picture, but there's a little fountain of milk coming from Putana's breast there. And I'm not too sure about that Krishna that sitting on it. But anyway, let's move on. So, who can tell me what's wrong? Who can tell me what's wrong with this picture? Something wrong here. Putana went about her evil task. I'll smear my breast with poison and feed the babies. This is from a Amarchitra Katha comic. But what's wrong with it? I'll tell you what's wrong. Putana doesn't look too beautiful. The way she gained access to Krishna was because she was beautiful and they trusted her. Okay? So nothing is as it seems. You see, everybody trusts the face of a beautiful woman because therefore she must be beautiful, therefore she must be famous, therefore she must be loved, therefore she must be good. It doesn't always come in the same package. And sometimes a woman with a beautiful face is the one that's standing in the dock who's been caught murdering her husband. So Putna had a beautiful face. Here she looks quite evil. So here's a Bengali. This is called the Calcutta School. And the Bengali picture. And she's having a hard time here, Putna. This is a very modern one. This was just done a couple of years ago. Here Krishna, somehow for artistic, anyway, she's child. She says, child, leave me, leave me. And here's a completely, so she's got here, she's got the little bottle of poison. So the artist is trying to tell you here that she's got a little bottle of poison. But Krishna, he's got an intent look on his face. And here, the artist is, what's the artist doing here? This is another modern picture. But the artist here, this is by a modern artist who had some ISKCON affiliation. And what he's talking about is the corruption of materially motivated religious institutions. Here, that was sanitized for the broadcast. Materially motivated religious but not spiritual institutions. And that Krishna has come to suck the poison out of the religious institutions of the world. That's what this artist is trying to say here. You like the picture? I'm not quite sure. It's not Putana, but it's the Putana represented by religious institutions of the world. So Krishna's come to clean that up. But anyway, here's our BBT. And already, she's gone from beautiful to being grotesque. She's really struggling. And she expands until she's 12 miles long. And Krishna is found as a tiny little baby playing on her chest. And of course, Mother Yashoda is very pleased to have her son back again. And it's at this point that we learn in the Bhagavatam how to perform a protective ceremony for children. That samskara is written in the Bhagavatam at that point. So you can take that and protect all the children of the world when you're a Hare Krishna priest. So Balaram told the story on Krishna. He said, Mother, Krishna has eaten dirt. And then Mother Yashoda looks inside the mouth of her son, and she sees, as you can see, the entire universe. This is a very popular theme. Krishna may seem like a baby, but don't be fooled. He's the Supreme Lord. And he's appearing here just to, in one sense, attract you, but don't let the attraction of the child, Krishna, fool you. Okay? So, this is called Madhubani, a Madhubani style painting. It's from Bihar. It's a type of folk art. In India, there's no such thing as I can't paint or I can't sing. In India, you'll never find anyone saying, I can't draw or I can't sing. No. That's like saying, I can't do the washing up or I can't cook. You see? Many people will say, well, I can't swim. That's all right, we'll let you have a go. But if you live in England, please learn how to swim because it's an island. Okay, but if you come from Bihar, you might be able to say, I can't swim. But you can't say, I can't cook. And if you can't say, I can't cook, you can't say, I can't draw. So they all draw, everybody draws, and it comes out like this. And it has a sort of childlike innocence to it. But here, you see the lady. She has a rope. There's a big stick and another stick, and one stick is tied to the other stick, and then there's a rope, and you pull this way, this way, this way, and it churns the rod, and that's how you get butter. Now, it's not anchor butter. It's not a big yellow block, okay? It doesn't come from New Zealand. You make it yourself from the milk from your cow. And it comes out sort of wet, and it comes out like thick yogurt. It tastes divine. But it doesn't come out yellow, it comes out white. So the butter that Krishna was stealing, that's why it looks all sloppy and white. It wasn't yogurt, but it was... Okay, so here's Krishna. Can I have some, Mother Yashoda? No. Krishna gets upset, then what does he do? See, this process still goes on. You'll still find this going on in India. They take the pot and they wrap the pot in rope and they hang it up. Keeps it cool and keeps the animals away. See, this is a contemporary shot. Still doing it. Thousands of years later. 5,000 years later, refrigeration still goes on the same way. So Krishna and Balaram, they worked together in everything. They were partners in crime. So they stole. Krishna and Balaram, two famous thieves. Even for thieving, Krishna is the most famous. Have you seen these men? They're known for raiding butter. This is the picture. Krishna caught in the act, stealing butter. He's taken out the churning rod. He's got his hand in. Yum, yum, yum. This is possibly one of the most famous pictures of Krishna. Have you all seen this picture before? You have. That's right. That's why you're looking bored. Why it's famous is because everybody loves Krishna at this age. Everybody wants to feed Krishna at this age. Natural inclination. Now here's a very contemporary. This is just this year. This is a modern artist's take. His name is Keshav. Lives in Calcutta. And here is Krishna. And he's juggling with the butter. I thought it was nice. It's a different artistic expression, but it's Krishna nonetheless. He's making Krishna available to a new, hip generation that don't want to look at the Technicolor pictures that their parents looked at. They want something a little more subtle, please. Technicolor, we don't want to do these huge, gaudy, bright colored pictures that our mums and dads, let's give us something that's art. Okay, so he's trying to do that. Quite why Krishna is ginger, I don't know, but I'm not complaining. So Mother Yashoda, you know the story. She chases Krishna and she ties him up. This, of course, is a new rendition. In the old days, people really didn't know anything about pillars or Indian architecture or pots or clothing or jewelry. Prabhupada had to guide them. But now devotees have done their homework. I took a book of ISKCON pictures to the Victoria and Albert Museum. I showed it to the curator of the Indian department. And his comment was, when he saw BBT paintings that were painted recently, he said, wow. He said, you people have really done your homework, haven't you? And he pointed to a piece of sculpture just in the back of the picture. He said, this frieze is from, and he named the particular temple where it was from in India. And he said, and I said, well, I didn't know that. He said, no, but you people did. Somebody did to paint that. So he said, 10 out of 10 for accuracy. So we're trying to be accurate because we're trying to say that Krishna actually lived. This is the first thing to get over to people, that he's not a myth. He's not a piece of mythology, or he's not an invention, or he's not a sentimental piece of poetry brought to life by some pictures. Here's a very contemporary face of Krishna. Krishna is the most beautiful. This is done by Driti, who was just here a couple of days ago. She has also tried in her life to perfect the beauty of Krishna. And I think in this picture she's done very well. So Krishna is very beautiful. But other people are attracted to his beauty, but not always for the right reasons. Who was attracted to Krishna's beauty? We shall see. Krishna went with his similarly beautiful friends and they would have picnics when looking after the calves, or after he was 5 or 7, looking after the cows. Okay, they would have picnics. Their mothers would give them picnics and they would swap. And I'll swap my samosa for your gulab. So who should be attracted to Krishna but Lord Brahma? Now you'd think that someone who was singing Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami would not have done what he actually does. He steals. He steals the cowherd boys. So he comes and he sees them and he says, well, who is this? And he becomes bewildered and he thinks that he can go away with the cowherd boys. Here they are. This is a modern Russian painting of Krishna. And look at their meals. It makes you want to run out of the room and go to breakfast. But you can't. There's another 10 minutes yet. You see? And this must be Madhu Mangal. Now, one thing is interesting, which we don't call the artist up on. But everybody in the picture, is wearing Gaudiya Vaishnav Tilak. Did you know that in the spiritual world they wear Gaudiya Vaishnav Tilak? I bet you didn't. Yeah, don't worry. We're just having a slideshow. Okay. So Lord Brahma comes back, of course. And Krishna shows him, I'm not just a little boy. I am actually that supreme creator who is the origin of yourself. Don't underestimate me. I just appear in the form of this little boy for pastimes. So then he prays, and he makes wonderful prayers to the Lord, which are recounted in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Here's another style of art. This one is 400 years old. So we see how Krishna has constantly been painted. He's constantly been the subject matter. Okay. A little frozen. Okay. Here's another one by Keshav. Krishna likes to dance. Do you find this painting attractive? It's different. Okay? It's not for the purists, it's not for the traditionalists. But he's saying something here, saying how Krishna can... Well, I'll leave you to think about it. You have some time to think about it at breakfast time. Okay, but Krishna loves to dance. Krishna is Natabara. He's a great dancer. You can't get a better dancer than Krishna. So Krishna likes to dance. And Krishna will dance anywhere. He can even dance on the heads of a snake. On 100 heads of a snake. Okay, you can come this way, sir. Madam. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Very good boy. Coming to Krishna with your blazer on. Very good. First day of school. Round of applause, please. First day of school. Wonderful. I hope it's a good Catholic school. So then, Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna is dancing. Krishna is dancing. Must be in the style of the Kerala style. Krishna is green, of course. But here, thousands of years ago, people are putting Krishna in bronze on Kaliya. And if you go south of, you know, well, in South India, you will find this is a very common theme, Krishna dancing on Kaliya. It means Krishna saying, you can, with me, you can triumph over anything that is bad in your life. Even if you have 100 bad things happen to you, you can dance on the head of bad things if you just stay with me. So here he is. And the Nagapatnis, the wives of the Naga or snake, they're coming. And they're saying, please, Lord, don't be too hard on him. Don't be too hard. There's another Calcutta style here. The snake's been tied up in knots. And Krishna's not only dancing, he's not only dancing on the heads of a snake, but he's playing his flute while he's doing it. Who can do this? Only Krishna. This is from the school of Ravi Varma in the 1920s in, where is it? Karnataka, something like that. Sorry, Tamil Nadu. And this is not such a good one, but you see, you get the idea. Here's a modern BBT take on it. So sometimes people come to you and their paintings or their ideas of Krishna are not quite the same as your ideas of Krishna because it doesn't look like a BBT painting. That's okay. You know, Krishna comes through in all different styles and languages. Can you pray to Krishna in Parsi? Can you pray to Krishna in Eskimo language? Yes. Does Krishna understand Eskimo? Yes. Does he understand Parsi? Yes. Does he understand Chinese? Definitely. You can pray to Krishna in any language. Okay. So here, what's Krishna doing? He is devouring the forest fire. He's just going, just like it was butter. He's sucking it all in, protecting his friends. Here's another painting. This is from Jayapur. Jayapur painting in the 18th century. That means the 1700s. So Krishna is sucking in all the forest fire. Another one from Maharashtra. See, this time there's all the animals. See, if you paint animals in a picture, even animals that weren't there at the time, it makes it a much more interesting. That's why when we get pictures of baby Jesus in the manger. Sometimes these days you'll get, you know, giraffes and lions and all kinds of animals around. Makes it more interesting. This picture of Krishna standing on the bank of the Yamuna playing his flute, of course, is very powerful. Rupa Goswami says, don't look at the picture. He says, don't look at this picture. If you want an ordinary life, don't look at this picture. Don't go there. Don't see this boy playing the flute by the bank of the Yamuna. Yamuna kinare Krishna kanaya murli madhura bajave. Okay? Don't look at that picture. Oh, no, you did. Too late. You're all finished, all of you. This one I like. It was an old BBT painting. There's something about it that I like, but I've just chosen it because it's my personal preference. Because today's all about me, so I get to choose. Another day, another slideshow, you get to choose. This is painted on cloth with vegetable dyes. And this is another painting from the north of India. And this is actually painted with paint made from jewels and real gold, real hammered gold. And of course, sculpture we find everywhere. Wood, china, porcelain, now plastic, clay, bronze, brass, silver, gold. Krishna comes in all sizes and shapes and forms. And here's a deity from Orissa. About 400 years old, 400 or 500 years old. And here's a BBT painting. More of a modern painting. Now these images, the BBT images, have been stolen. They've been stolen. All over India you'll find them on bedspreads, cake tins, you know, things to do with cars. Even one of our, you know, like one of our devotees here was used, the picture was stolen and used to advertise telephones in India. There's no such thing as copyright in India. They're just any imagery that we create, they steal. And of course now, in the award-winning cartoon, Little Krishna, you'll find Krishna playing his flute. Very popular. I don't know where those mountains came from, but in the cartoon there's mountains. Because Vrindavan is, there's only three hills in Vrindavan. What are they? Three hills in Vrindavan. Varshana, Nandagram, Govardhan. That's right. There's another one at Tapasya Kund, but we don't, you know. There's three big ones. Now, Krishna stealing the clothes of the gopis. The inner working of this is, of course, that the soul has to be naked before God. We have to be completely honest. We have to be completely vulnerable. Then Krishna will accept us. That's the inner spiritual theme going on here. Unfortunately, artists, especially modern artists, have taken great license. And many artists, like the gopis, were about 10, 9, 10, 11 when this event took place. But modern artists, especially licentious ones, they like to paint the gopis 18, 19, 20 years old and completely naked. So that's why it's difficult to find a picture where the artist hasn't done something just to please the public. Because in a highly controlled society like India, if you can have a religious painting where the naked form is displayed, you can buy that painting. So that's where the artist likes to play into material considerations. But here's an old one. And here's a sculpture from a South Indian temple. It's this Hampi. This is from 1200. It was Krishna stealing the clothes of the gopis and carved in solid granite. And they're appealing to him. Sometimes the, you know, unfortunately, the Muslim armies would come. and they would go for two things. They would deface they would knock the noses off, and they'd knock the breasts of the women off. So you can always tell whether it, when a temple has been raided, they like to do the smashing. But this is from the Calcutta school. And this is the story of Govardhan Hill. You'll see Krishna has assumed a gigantic form, and then Indra becomes enraged, and Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill. The lifting of Govardhan Hill is everywhere. You'll see that form of Krishna everywhere. So here's one rendition. It's always on the little finger of his left hand. It's the northern Indian school. You'll see everybody's trying to help Krishna with their sticks. Yeah, a bit more realistic. The rain is still pouring off the hill. Not sure about the perspective on this one, but you get the idea. Here, it's outside a temple. These are life-size, almost life-size images. You've got everybody there lifting up the hill. This is probably a Krishna temple. Is it Govardhan? Is it? Okay. Here's a beautiful one. It's got real live water coming off it. Now, I'm told that this year, for one of our Janmashtami displays down there in our Hare Krishna village, we will have a display which features Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill with real water coming down, if everything works. So this is ancient, ancient sculpture in a place called Mahabalipuram. Mahabalipuram is just south of Chennai, and there you will find many carvings like this. This is protected by the government of India because it is just so, so old. And here you have Krishna. And here he's lifting up the hill. Can you see him in the middle? And he's not a little boy. He's sort of heroic. Because in that part of the world, they understand Krishna as an incarnation of Vishnu. So in order to show Krishna as Vishnu, he's a little boy, but he isn't. Okay. This is another ancient temple. Another one. And of course, Indra, he comes and he's, you know, he gets... I'll go faster now. 5 minutes more? You can wait 5 minutes? Is that okay? So Indra apologizes. Now Radha and Krishna standing together are so iconic that is how we picture Krishna. That's the image. Krishna moves a lot. But when he's present before us as the deity, he doesn't move. You have to become Krishna conscious in order to see Krishna moving. So that form of Krishna, Radha and Krishna, is just suitable for worship because it incorporates Krishna at his most relaxed, at his most enjoying. He's there with Radha. He's playing his flute. And he's saying, come and serve me. There's no demons to kill at the moment. He's taking a break. See? So in that image, that's how we worship Krishna. In different parts of Vrindavan, Krishna is pictured in different ways. You find the deity in different forms. This is an old Calcutta one. I like this one. Guess when this was painted? Krishna and Radha look like Hollywood, you know. When was it? Yeah, 1940s. It's the style, isn't it? It's quite nice. This one is painted 1990s. I just couldn't resist this one. I know what's going on here. This is at the bottom it says blingy. And I think that's the you got butterflies, you got birds, you got Christmas tree decorations. I think in India, Christmas gets a little Krishna conscious, or maybe, you know, Krishna gets a little Christmassy, or all tends to get a bit mixed, but either this is a Christmas greeting that someone has sent to their friends, but it's got Krishna right in the middle. Whatever it is, it's unusual. Anyway, Krishna swings with Radharani. Very pleasurable pastime. And that's depicted many, many times. This is a picture from Tanjore. This is right down the middle of, right down the bottom of Tamil Nadu. And typical of this is to have raised surfaces on the painting and gold. So Krishna dances all the time. This is a Tamil watercolor. Krishna dances. But the chief dance that he is depicted in is where he's dancing with all of his devotees. And it is said that for this dance, Krishna expands himself in many different forms so that each devotee thinks that she is dancing with Krishna alone. Someone wrote to me the other day, actually, a couple of days ago, and said, when I go to the spiritual world, will I be with Krishna, or will I be just serving the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna? Do I get close to Krishna? So I had to reassure them that you will feel as close as to Krishna as you need to be. You will be completely satisfied. So this theme of the circle dance, the rasa dance, is depicted in many different ways. Especially on ceilings, on walls. And here's another theme. At some time, the Vrindavan pastimes have to stop, and Akrura comes and takes Krishna and Balaram to see Kamsa for the wrestling match. He comes and he takes them from Vrindavan to Mathura. And this is a scene of great separation, because the gopis try to stop Krishna leaving. They say to Akrura, your name is Akrura, or not cruel. Why, therefore, are you being cruel and taking Krishna away from us? So this scene, which of course we have in our temple president's office, is Krishna, or the gopis, trying to stop Krishna leaving. And after that, Akrura has the identity of Krishna revealed to him by seeing him in the waters of the Yamuna. Krishna's wrestling with these huge wrestlers, and eventually he becomes Kamsa Nisudana. Krishna becomes Kamsa Nisudana, the killer of Kamsa. He's good at peace, but he's good at war as well. This is, he's fighting with the armies of Jarasandha. You can still go to this place today in Lohaban, and of course in Mathura. He's fighting Jarasandha, and he's being pursued by someone called Kalayavana. Normally, if Krishna is confronted with a demon, the demon gets what's coming to him. But in this case, Krishna runs away. He's a coward. He doesn't want to fight. But Kalayavana follows him all the way to a cave, and then he's destroyed by Muchukunda, who was in the cave just waiting to be woken up. Prabhupada says, Krishna accomplishes more than one thing at a time. So here's Kalayavana getting his just desserts from Muchukunda, who burns him with his vision. Okay, zaps him. Krishna doesn't have to do anything at all. This one is very famous, especially in South India, because as we worship Vrindavan Krishna, so in many other places in India they worship Krishna with Satyabhama or Rukmini. This is Rukmini Haran. Rukmini Haran means the stealing of Rukmini. Rukmini was kidnapped at her wedding to Shishupal. There was a great battle. There was a great chariot chase. Gosh, if we could film that, that would be good. You just have to imagine it, though. Great chariot chase, a great battle. Lots of horses. And eventually, of course, he marries Rukmini. And here he is. Now this, the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini, the marriage of Krishna and Satyabhama, the marriage of Krishna and 16,000 other queens, is very important for people who don't choose to worship Krishna in his parakya form. They choose to worship Krishna in his swakya form, which is important for some people. They can't grasp the parakya rasa. So Krishna, he's depicted with Rukmini Satyabhama. And this goes on through, this is called Kathakali. Kathakali is a type of dance form that is produced, we think, by a mixing of Indian forms and Chinese forms. The Chinese traders were coming to India at that time, and we think the combination of the two produced this half Chinese, half Indian form known as Kathakali. Just an artistic speculation, by the way. Not absolute. And this, who is this? Who could it be? But, no, it's Narakasura. Narakasura is very important because in South India they say Krishna did not kill Narakasura. He killed Satyabhama. Satyabhama killed. And so, here he is. This is a BBT painting. He's a popular comic. There he is at the bottom. If it was an English comic, he'd be saying something like, ooh. Okay. So Satyabhama, Garuda. And then, this is, it's like we have Guy Fawkes Night here, or we have Dussehra, where Ravana goes up in flames. So in South India, they celebrate Naraka. Naraka Chaturdashi. And it's a huge event. Huge event. We can also celebrate it if you like. It falls in... Just before Diwali, yeah. So we can do the same thing. Why not? Anyway, Narakasura, here he is. Very nice Narakasura, actually. Yeah, it's very nice. See, he's got this Mula Murti and the Utsav Murti as well. Anyway, this is how he ends up. Finally, another Chaitanya. Finally. Don't put your finger in the air. No, finally. It's just finishing. I promise. Okay. So who's this, another Chaitanya? Sudama. That's right. He's depicted quite old here. Nice. He's depicted old. And very, very, his ribs are sticking out there. But Sudama was an old childhood friend of Krishna. They went to school together. And in his elder life, he went to see Krishna. And Krishna, of course, is still... Krishna never looks older than a 16-year-old boy. Or Sudama, he's aged. How is this possible? Krishna, you look great. You look just the same as you did before. This is by an English artist. It's Draupadi being disrobed by the Kauravas. This is in a book of Indian stories. This is another English artist called Warwick Gobel. This is from 1913. So England was, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, England was in India for 250 years. And we like those stories. So there's a lot of English artists and poets at that time who again took the Krishna themes and put them into European style art. And here's Krishna protecting Draupadi and a BBT rendering. Finally, here's Krishna and Arjuna. Great consternation in the middle of a battlefield. These stories, you know. Krishna speaks to him. I like this one. Yeah, it's very nice. Now, Arjuna shouldn't have been too bewildered because, of course, they'd been to see... was that afterwards? Did they go to see Mahavishnu afterwards or before? Before. Yeah, that's what I thought. So, you know, Krishna on the chariot had taken Arjuna to see Mahavishnu. So Arjuna might have possibly been getting the idea that Krishna's not normal. He's something other than ordinary. So that when Krishna finally declares, I am the Supreme Being, Arjuna isn't that surprised. And this is how he does it. He finally convinces him with the display of the Vishvarupam. And off they go to battle. Famous painting there. But this was one of Prabhupada's favorite images of Krishna. It's Krishna, Gopal, sitting on a rock. He's with his cow, he's with his flute, and he's with the other sentient beings. Krishna's very peaceful. It's a Brijbasi print. My favorite picture of Krishna is the one that was in 10 Downing Street, the home of the Prime Minister. I like it that the Krishna icons have come so far that the British Prime Minister has the picture of Radha Gokulananda, albeit temporarily, in his home. I think that deserves a round of applause. Krishna has come to London. And therefore, my top picture is this one. Haribol! So thank you very much, gentlemen and ladies, for your kind attention. Sorry to go over time. I'm sure there will be breakfast left. But in your life, please remember the form of Krishna, as well as the name of Krishna. And try to give the form of Krishna to others. Hare Krishna.